Welcome back to the Moms Better Together podcast. I'm Heather Riggleman with my co-host, Lori Wildenberg, and we're getting ready to dive into episode 4. But before we get to that, be sure to check out episode 3. Lori and I talk about helping our kids with cultivating peace and contentment with a wonderful guest that we had on. Her name is Emily Scott.
Hi, I'm Lori Wildenberg, and I am going to tell you, oh my gosh, you do not want to miss Emily's story, right, Heather?
I agree.
Whoa. Yeah. Her family was one of the families that experienced a California wildfire that devastated, oh gosh, thousands of homes. And it devastated their newly built home, their forever home. And she tells us the story of the loss and how she and her husband, Chris, chose to really focus on not the loss so much. Of course, you know, there's certainly grieving in that, and they're very real with that, but also tried to focus on thriving rather than just surviving in the midst of this horrible tragedy. But today's episode, we are going to take a peek at Joseph from the book of Genesis and all the faithfulness and loyalty that he demonstrated and he had shown to those in authority over him and even to his family. We're going to take those principles of how to nurture faithfulness, loyalty, and trustworthiness in our kiddos so we can raise up a Joseph.
Gosh, wouldn't it be nice if our kids already came with faithfulness and loyalty? We'll be getting into that later, but first I'm going to provide a little background for today's episode. So we are basing this podcast on, like what Lori said, raising up a Joseph, and you can find his life story in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. So one of the things that we want to talk about is how Joseph displayed faithfulness and loyalty a number of times throughout his life. We see that he was faithful to his father, Jacob, in doing the job that his dad gave him, which is keeping an eye on his 10 older brothers.
Which probably wasn't a job his 10 older brothers were all that excited about and may have contributed to Joseph getting tossed into the pit, perhaps. But we're not talking about jealousy today. We are talking about faithfulness and loyalty. So we are going to discuss that right now. But so not only do we see how faithful Joseph was to his dad and the job that his dad gave him, even though it did cause trouble for him, he was even loyal to his brothers years later. 7 years later, during the 7-year famine, Joseph was instrumental in providing food for his family.
Yeah. So he was loyal to his brothers during that 7-year famine. And so he provided food for them when they came to him, when he was second in command in Egypt.
Yeah. Gosh, you know, and he demonstrated loyalty to Pharaoh as well. After he reconciled with his family, years later, his dad, Jacob, died and he needed to be buried in the land of Canaan. And Joseph traveled there. And Pharaoh was comfortable in letting Joseph leave Egypt because he knew he could trust Joseph. And he knew that Joseph would make his way back to Egypt, given his track record of being faithful and loyal.
Yeah, loyalty and faithfulness, especially towards his brothers. I mean, the brothers who betrayed him, the ones that were like plotting to kill him, but they decided to sell him as a slave instead. That would be extremely hard.
Yeah, I can't even imagine being faithful or loyal to those folks. I'd be thinking, might have a different approach perhaps. But yeah, he never wavered in his loyalty. Either to his family, to his superiors, or to God, even after being betrayed by his family and falsely accused and falsely imprisoned, he remained loyal and faithful. And, you know, of course, hopefully our kids aren't going to experience those extreme circumstances that Joseph endured. But Nevertheless, we still hope to encourage the qualities of faithfulness to the family and loyalty to the family. And of course, trustworthiness in our kiddos. I kind of think most parents think those are pretty awesome character traits to nurture in their children.
Oh, I would agree. I think when it comes to faithfulness, it's better. It helps if we kind of like define what it means. And I know that faithfulness means like being steadfast, and it means being careful and keeping like what's been entrusted to us. And so one of the verses, one of the scriptures that we base this podcast on is the fruit of the Spirit. And so in Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, it reminds us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a result of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives, and how we interact with our kids, and how we allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in our homes.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, and we think back on Joseph. I mean, he must have had that Holy Spirit power, that fruit of the Spirit, to respond the way that he did in the circumstances that he found himself in. Really, it's superhuman. It's supernatural. So it must have been Holy Spirit driven. And Scripture reminds us so many times that God was with Joseph. And that is why his superiors could count on him, because they actually recognized that.
Oh, I agree with that. No, I completely agree with that. I mean, he definitely displayed that throughout his life, especially like with loyalty. And so I think when it comes to the word loyalty as well, the word loyalty brings to mind like a powerful sense of belonging. It's kind of like one of my love languages. And you and I have talked about that. Like loyalty is huge for the both of us. The Merriam-Webster dictionary would define it as like an unswerving in allegiance, such as being faithful to one's lawful sovereignty or government. God's definition means that our whole being is committed. Don't you think, Lori?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Your entire heart, mind, and soul, right?
Yeah.
You know, you are fully in.
So God reminds us in the Gospels, especially in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so when it comes to thinking about loyalty and that sort of thing, it means to me being faithful to God and being committed to the relationships that are around us. So it means being committed to, you know, being, you know, a wife or being a husband or being committed to, you know, raising up our kids.
Yeah. To be in each other's corner, right? To be able to count on one another when the chips are down, you know, and those things, I know I want that for my family, and I so want my kiddos to respond that way to one another as well.
So, Lori, you are both, you're both a mom and a licensed parent and family educator. So could you give us some tips of what it means to foster loyalty and faithfulness in our kids?
Yeah, you know, boy, this is something we all want. We all want our kids to be, you know, loyal to the family and faithful to the family. And I think one of the ways that we can really instill this idea of family loyalty is almost approaching it like, like being on the same team, right? Like the Riggleman team or the Wildenberg team. In our family, we, and then fill in the blank, you know, we stick up for each other. We are able to count on one another when the chips are down. And if you can establish sort of an idea of helping one another, that helps the family loyalty, that family team spirit, where you're there for each other when they need some help to be lifted up, and to know that they, well, like you had mentioned, Heather, the belonging part, right? Mm-hmm. That to make sure that they know that they are intricately important to the family system, and each person has unique gifts and talents, but yet we are all together in unity. And being in unity doesn't mean that we are uniform. Okay. We're not exactly the same, right? Mm-hmm. What this makes me think of is how, like with a dance line, right? Everybody kicks exactly the same and it looks like perfect precision. That's uniform.
Mm-hmm.
But a team is more like unity. And the uniqueness within the unity is demonstrated. So, you know, for instance, not everybody's the quarterback, right? You've got a quarterback. Now, I'm not much of a sports person, so I could totally mess this analogy up, but you've got the quarterback and you've got the receiver. You've got, you know, the guys that do all the tackling, the offense and the defense. And everybody's got a different job, but they're all shooting for the same goal. And that's what unity is. We want our kids to be able to be unified, but for their own uniqueness and talents to shine through and to have those be appreciated as well. I think as parents, there's things we can avoid that can really, really squelch our unity. And like, you know, like with Joseph's family, one of the things that squelched that unity was the way his dad really had him separate from the brothers. Right. I mean,
well, he really favored him. I mean,
and it was horrible. And the brothers did not appreciate that. And that made them hate Joseph. So we've got to be careful not to stir that jealousy. If we want to have team unity, team spirit in our family, and to appreciate each one's gifts the way God has gifted them, sort of even looking like, you know, looking at the body of Christ, or looking at, you know, the body, the eye sees, right? And the mouth speaks. Everyone's got a little different function, and to appreciate that and to call those things out rather than to compare the kids. We need to be really careful of that. So to keep loyalty and unity, the things that we want to do is foster that team spirit. And another thing is actually to have the kiddos participate in family chores. Because that, I think, you know, and I'm sure you've seen this in with your kids, you know, when they've got to participate in the chores, that they know that they're part of the family. They're not just a roommate. They're not just somebody who's renting from you, right? They're part of this family and they're invested. And I think that's actually pretty critical. Faithfulness is really a tough one to train in, I think. And I think the best way to train with faithfulness is to actually look at trustworthiness and to train for that. And that will grow, I think, faithfulness, especially if you're working on loyalty. I think then faithfulness will be a little bit more of a natural birth from those things. And to train for trustworthiness, first, we've got to start with ourselves, like to be people of our word and mm-hmm. to be a promise keeper. If we say, hey, you know, let's talk later today, or I'll take you to the park later today, then we need to make sure we follow through with that and to be people of our word. And, you know, even down to small things, I remember, and I'm not saying this like big hero thing at all. I'm saying this was actually sort of an annoyance to me, but I knew I had to do the right thing because my daughter was with me. So we had left the grocery store and I was unpacking the cart, putting the stuff into the back of the car. We were ready to go. I was in a hurry. And I noticed in the cart, there was a card that someone else had. It must have been in the cart before we had the cart.
Mm-hmm.
And it was wedged in between like the little seat and the rest of the basket. And I was like, oh gosh, I got to bring this back. Like, you know, it's not mine. I didn't buy it. Somebody forgot it, but the right thing to do. And we were in a hurry. And really, I'm thinking, do I really have to do this? And I honestly had a big wrestling in my spirit about it. And then I thought, yeah, you know, I need to do that because it's the right thing to do. And God's got a little chaperone with me. And my daughter was observing. And I said, you know, I got to run this back inside because this belongs to the store. Somebody forgot it. And if I leave it here, it might get ruined. So it slowed us down a little bit, but really not that much. But the fruit of that, I think, was maybe, you know, other experiences perhaps on top of that. But then the same daughter years later, she had tried to park her car in this like tighter parking space, and she bumped the car behind her. And she didn't think that there was a dent or anything, but she still left a note. And I was really proud of her for that, you know, and the person who received the note mentioned the car was not damaged at all. Thankfully, they weren't honest, and but appreciated the fact that she left the note. And, you know, those are the things that we want to grow in our kids.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
You know, to be honest, sometimes comes with a price and or an inconvenience, right? But we need to demonstrate that. And the fruit of that is so much better than the convenience at the moment. I don't know. What do you think, Heather?
Oh, excuse me. No, I completely agree with you when it comes to if we, and that's actually a conversation that we're having at our house right now. You know, if you can be faithful in the little things, then I can trust you to be faithful in the big things. And so, my son, he wants to get a dog, and I am not a dog person. I don't want to get a dog right now. Because I know the
line. I'm voting with Elijah. I love dogs.
Well, I know that a lot of the work is going to fall onto me. And so I'm just like, am I really ready to tackle having like a toddler around all the time? Cause that's kind of like what dogs are like to me. And yeah. So, you know, so this is like an ongoing conversation. It's like, Elijah, can I count on you to get your chores done? Can I count on you to be home when you say you're going to be home? Can I count on you to say that you're going to be doing the things that you need to do? Can I count on you to be trustworthy in moments where you don't, when nobody's looking? Like, for example, we have, like, we parent all three of our kids very, very differently. And so with Elijah, his grades have never been stellar. He's more of like a hands-on kinetic kid. And we know that. And so we count, you know, the talents and stuff that he has elsewhere. School's still really important, but it's not something that's in his wheelhouse, if that makes sense. He's a brilliant student, but But when it comes to taking exams and that sort of thing, it's not his strong suit. And so he chose to come home and tell us ahead of time, oh, hey, by the way, I have like a D in math. And I'm like, okay, cool. Thank you for telling us that, because I had already gotten an email. And so I was just waiting to see if he was going to be honest. And he was. So, I mean, so if he can be faithful in the little things, I know that I can count on him to be faithful in the big things.
Yeah, that's awesome. Full disclosure, right? I mean, he told you, and that's really cool. That's huge. And it also shows, Heather, that he knew that he he could trust you with your response, right?
Ooh, yeah.
You didn't go crazy. And I think part of the reason our kids sometimes are not trustworthy is because they're afraid of our response. So if we take it down a couple of notches and just sort of go, okay, what's the big thing here? The big thing here isn't the grade. The big thing here is the honesty, because that's the thing that's going to get him through life, right? The grade, so what? You know, I barely passed math. I don't, you know, and I, you know, goodness, you know, it hasn't really made that much of a difference because I married an accountant so he can take care of the math for the family. But, you know, but that's okay, you know, and for them to know that you aren't going to go crazy when they disclose something. One of our kids, she ended up, at, you know, as you said, that we, you parent your kids differently. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when I speak to groups, sometimes the air gets sucked out of the room when I say, you don't have to be so consistent. You know, like with each person exactly the same. It's like, what are you talking about? And it's just what you mentioned, Heather. Mm-hmm. It's that you recognize the gifts and talents and the way each person is created and their sin propensity and their propensity to rise to the occasion, right? You've noticed that. You are parenting each one according to how God has shown you who that child is. Now, your expectations or your family principles, your morals, your values, all of those things are all the same. That's where you stay consistent, right? Mm-hmm. Like you get in the, if you're going to, you know, go through driver's education and you expect to use the car, you have to follow the safety rules of the road. That's an expectation. You buckle up, you don't text and drive. Those are, those things stay consistent. But within those rules, the rules are always the same, but the limits change according to each personality and each kid knowing who they are. For instance, a five-year-old, some five-year-olds will look both ways and cross the street and won't have to necessarily hold your hand, but have you by them. But there are other five-year-olds who are super impulsive and they darn well better hold your hand or they're going to run out into the street. So you're, you know, the principle, the rule is still the same. We got to be safe in crossing the street, that expectation, but how that's lived out is different. And you're doing that with your son and your girls. And that's huge. And parents like kill themselves over trying to be consistent when in fact, they only really need to be consistent with their faith, their morals, their values, and the issues of safety.
Oh, I think you really nailed, you know, one of the biggest struggles, you know, parents have, because I think everybody has like this belief and like this dichotomy that you've got to be consistent. Excuse me. You have to be consistent with all three kids and, or like however many kids that you have. And no, I mean, each child is different. So I completely agree with that. And I have a feeling with the way that Elijah's been doing like his chores and his honesty and everything else, that we will be picking out a dog when we get back from vacation. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. And at the same time, I'm like, oh, this is going to be more work for me, but I think it will be a good thing.
Yes, it is pretty busy at first. I have to say our dog, Toby, his name means God is good. Isn't that fun?
That's so cute.
Yeah. So Toby is now two and he's a little bit easier, but yeah, you know, and even a dog can be something that fosters family unity, honestly, because everyone wants to be a part of the new pet. And one of the best things actually a step family can do is to get a dog because they are all invested in this pet. Mm-hmm. So anyway, there are a lot of things that we can do as parents to foster that family unity, which will increase family loyalty, you know, avoid those comparisons and really appreciate the uniqueness of each person. and work on the trustworthiness, because the more our kids disclose to us, just as with Elijah, the more he disclosed regarding his grades, right?
Yep.
The more trust he's building, that's money in the bank.
It is.
And for him to understand that he's putting money in that account, that trustworthy account. And that's gold, because what happens is the more trustworthy our kids are, the more freedom that they end up getting. And they always want more freedom than we're ready to give them, right? But that freedom comes from being trustworthy. So we can raise up a Joseph. And if we really focus on the loyalty and the faithfulness and the trustworthiness, we can help our kids. Hopefully they'll never experience what Joseph did, but
oh gosh, yeah,
you know, and hopefully we're not raising a situation where Joseph, like Joseph had with his brothers, and we can avoid those. So if we really focus on the unity, and the faithfulness and the trustworthiness, loyalty will come, and so will faithfulness. So anyway, hey Heather, I'm just curious. Do you happen to have a verse for us, about this?
I do. Psalms 40 verse 11, do not withhold your mercy from me. Lord, may your love and faithfulness always protect me. You know what? this is making me think of our cats. Our cats are going to be thinking of this verse. I mean, they're going to be wanting that faithfulness and trustworthiness, that we're not going to let the dog terrorize them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. You know, it is good you got them in this order.
I agree.
So the cats will be able to boss the puppy before the puppy starts getting bigger than them. So
would you close us today in prayer?
Sure. Father, thank you so much for this time to talk about your love and your faithfulness. And of course, Father, you are always faithful. You are faithful when we are not. And you demonstrate love when we are not loving. Lord, we ask you that you fill us with your love and your faithfulness, so that overflows out of us and onto our family. And Father, that our kids know that we are always in their corner, no matter what, that even when they have received a grade that isn't great, or they have done something that wasn't right, we are still in their corner, and we are still loyal and faithful and love them unconditionally. And Lord, that doesn't mean that we don't correct, because Father, in your love and faithfulness, you are a loving Father who does offer correction. And Lord, you are our example. So we pray that, Father, that you glue our families together with unity. And Father, we pray that together we can seek you for your faithfulness and understand how that is to be shown within our family. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We hope this episode encouraged you and has equipped you with some easily applicable parenting tools. So yes, moms, give us a like.
And if you want to know more about Lori Wilderberg and me, Heather Riggleman, be sure to check out our website, wearemomstogether.com.
Moms Better Together is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed Heather and Lori's conversation today, will you take a minute to leave them a rating and review in your favorite podcast app so more people like you can find the show? This podcast was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. To find more faith-filled, encouraging podcasts like this one, just head over to lifeaudio.com.
Hey there, it's Carly Mercoulier, host of Therapy and Theology, a weekly podcast that explores popular topics and questions related to faith, feelings, and spiritual formation. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.